I'm Gail Hunt, and I'm excited to bring you Fun Time with Cliff Goodwin, a rock and talk series of Cliff's Tales from the Road, a behind-the-scenes look at his rock and roll adventures right here at WCUW.
Some things are funny, you know, some things aren't, but most of it was, we had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs.
Well, it is Fun Time with Cliff Goodwin.
What about even recording with Joe?
Now, a number of tours with Joe, so on and so forth. It comes time for Joe to make another album, and he got dropped by A&M, and he got picked up by Elektra Asylum. And the record that eventually was going to be Luxury You Can't Afford on Elektra Asylum, which, by the way, has the single Fun Time on it, was one that had everybody on that record. But at one point, they called us up and said, well, you're his road band. Why don't you guys come down and cut a few tracks? And we said, fine. So they were making the record at that point in Miami, Criteria Studios in Miami, made very famous by Derek and the Dominoes and the Bee Gees. They did a lot of Saturday Night Live stuff. And the producer of that record was a guy by the name of Alan Toussaint.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Very famous New Orleans guy, songwriter. And he was, turns out to be a very interesting cat. Not much of a visionary when it came to producing. He basically, I think they bought the name and not, they printed the legend and not the fact or something like that. So we got down there and we were introduced to him. And we did. And it was American Standard. It was John Riley, Howie Hirsch, Derek, Kevin, me, and Mitch Shakur. Mm-hmm. At that point, Mitch Shakur was in the touring band. Nicky had left. Bobby Keys was still around, but Nicky had left. Mitch Shakur took his place eminently. So we got down there, and we did three tracks. One was called Boogie Baby. Another one, I can't remember the title, but the third one was called Fun Time. Mm. And We had done the other two tracks, and Alan Toussaint came in, and this is a perfect description of Alan Toussaint. And he looked at me and Mitch, and he said, I got a song I want you guys to try. Okay, fine, we said. He said, the previous band that was down here called Stuff tried it. There was a band called Stuff that had been touring with Joe for a while, way back in the early 70s. It was Steve Gadd, Richard T., Cornell Dupree, Eric Gale, not the Eric Gale that is around now, and a guy named Gordon Edwards on bass. They were preeminent session guys, killer session guys. Alan said, well, they did this track. We said, great, can we hear it? He said, no. We said, do you have other demo for us to hear? He went, no. Mitch said, well, we'd like to get an idea, right? So Alan says, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll sing you a verse. And he sang us a verse. Got a few jingle jangles in my pocket, and I got a few that don't make no noise. Okay, fine. And then he sang the chorus. It's fun time, let yourself be happy, it's fun time. And I looked at Mitch, and Mitch looked at me, and we looked at Alan Toussaint and said, well, what are we supposed to do with that? Alan looked at Mitch, blessed him, and said, you're a professional, you'll think of something. And he left. He walked out of the studio and walked out of the building.
Wow.
He left.
So all you had was that little...
All we had was that. What you hear on that track is what we made up.
Stars above, just a few of my toys.
You're tuned to WCUW. We're at 91.3 on the FM dial, online at WCUW.org. I'm Gail Hunt, and this is The Drive. You're tuned to Rock and Talk, a series of interviews with Cliff Goodwin. We're hearing now about his being in the studio with Joe Cocker, recording Fun Time, a song for his album Luxury You Can Afford. Great stories. I'm just loving this. Here we go.
He came back a few hours later. We had the track, and Joe was already ready to sing it. And the engineer on that session was a guy named Alex Sadkin. At the end of that session, Alex Sadkin was really impressed with us. We were too, because we had that track, and you know, and everybody was happy with it.
Yeah, it's a great.
And Alex looked at Kevin, and he goes, "Who are you guys? We understood you were Joe's road band." And Kevin said, "Well, yeah, we are. But we also have a band called the American Standard Band. We have our own band." And Alex Sadden goes, "Really?" And Kevin being Kevin at that point, he's always got a cassette of our demos in his pocket and gives them to Alex Sadden. And Alex Sadden goes, "Thanks." So we all went home, carried on with our lives. About 3 weeks later, we get a call from Island Records. Alex Sadden was leaving his engineering position at Criteria Studios in Miami and going to be a staff producer for Island Records.
Nice.
And he goes, I think Island wants to sign you. And we went, even to this day, I'm thinking about this. It's so weird. You know, it's like goosebumpy time. Mm-hmm. We said, okay, what's going to happen? He goes, well, Chris Blackwell, and you can Google Chris Blackwell. He owned Island Records and is responsible for, you know, so much all the way back to Spencer Davis Group stuff, you know, producing Give Me Some Lovin' and responsible for Bob Marley. He says, Chris is going to come to Boston, book a studio, and you'll just play. Okay. So we booked a studio, like a jingle studio, someplace in Boston where the actual control room was smaller than the actual studio, because it was a jingle studio where people just did voiceover. Yeah. We set the band up. Chris had the engineer mic everything up, and he sat behind the console and had us play. And he signed us to Island Records. Now, flashing back to a few episodes before, when I talked about Zonkerez, Albatross, the Joneses, or Mad Angel, whatever incarnation you want, and many other bands, that's how we got signed. Because we were in the face of guys who could do it.
Yeah.
We weren't more worthy. Mm-hmm. We weren't any better.
Yeah.
We were just really freaking lucky and good enough to do it, but not so much better than these other local Worcester bands who should have been signed. That's my point.
Yeah.
So we got signed. Many, many years later, I was down in Nassau doing some work on a Joe Cocker record, and that's when I connected with Robert Palmer at that time, but we'll get to that later. I happened to talk to Chris about it. I said, what made you do it that way? Why didn't you just come to a gig? He said, if I had you guys play at a gig, you'd be showing off for your girlfriends, and I really wouldn't get two representations of the band. I had the guy mic you up in the studio, had you play. I shut my eyes and listened. I said, does this sound like a record? The answer was yes, I signed you. Real simple, you know, and really, really, that's how it can work. And that's the first venture into a Joe Cocker record. And then that's 1979, I think.
And so where did you go? So now you're doing double duty? You're playing with Joe and doing some American Standard gigs?
Yeah, and so we got signed to Island and did our first record at a place. And Alex Shadkin had nothing to do with it, which really blew my mind. He must have been busy somewhere else, because it was, in retrospect, it was a shame. Our first producer on the first American Standard album was a guy named Charlie Colello, who was one of the Four Seasons. He was in a version of the Four Seasons.
Wow.
But his claim to fame was arrangement. He arranged things for Streisand, for even Sinatra, I think. But he also had a track record in the music business, of the business of the business. He had no business producing American Standard. He wasn't coming from where we were coming from. So we made that record. It came out. Yay.
So it wasn't like Joe was mad about it. You guys worked
out
the schedule.
No, he wasn't mad. He was just probably aware, but he knew that it, you know, it wasn't like, well, we can't do something because we're busy doing that. Now, so eventually Island Records and our manager at the time conjured up this plan that we wouldn't go on tour. We would do the second American Sandin album, and it would be in the can, so we have two records, one already out and the other one coming out, and then we would tour.
Yeah.
While we were making the second album was when the proverbial, what you could imagine, hit the fan. And we can talk about that the next time.
Okay.
Ooh, cliffhanger.
I'd like to thank Cliff Goodwin for this fun time episode. We look forward to hearing more next week. Tune in to The Drive at 5 and for our Rock and Talk series around 6 p.m.